Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I shared this on social media last week, but for Father's Day, Sarah and the kids, they got me a pretty unique gift. This is a ViewMaster that Sarah found on Etsy, and you may be familiar with the ViewMaster because you may have had one yourself when you were a child. In fact, I had a red one when I was a kid. But the ViewMaster, it's actually been around for quite some time. It was first introduced at the New York World's Fair in 1939. And interestingly, the ViewMaster originally, when they first created it, first began to promote it, they thought it was going to be something that would eventually replace postcards. Because if you remember, you can buy these individual discs. Of course, the original ones, they were white cardboard discs with just the slots for those several pictures. And so they would sell these discs at tourist spots, believing that tourists, instead of buying a postcard, they would buy these discs with the several photos from the vacation spot that they were at, and that they would just enjoy those photos instead of postcards. But eventually, really, these ViewMasters just became known more as a child's toy. And so, you know, I find this gift to be a pretty cool gift because not only does it bring back these childhood nostalgic memories, but the disc that Sarah and the kids gave me, it actually has several pictures of myself with my children, just some snapshots of some of the most important relationships that I have. So we're in this series right now titled Growing in Every Way. And as we're going through this series, we're walking through the second half of the book of Ephesians. We're going to wrap this series up next week. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about growing in consistency in our faith. Then last week, we started talking about growing in our relationships, and we're going to talk more about growing in our relationships once again today. Now, understand, the most important relationship that we can grow in is our relationship with the Lord. The most important relationship that we can grow in is our relationship with the Lord. That's why the first half of the book of Ephesians really describes this relationship that we have with Christ. It's a reminder of the relationship that we have with Christ. That's all right. There's just a child playing with the alarm. There's no need for alarm this morning. but Paul, he talks to the church in Ephesus at the first half of the book of Ephesians about the lengths that Christ went to in order to make this relationship with him possible. Now listen, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never declared Jesus as your Lord, then understand that's the first step for you to take today. Because while we can grow in all of these other relationships in this life, apart from Christ, all of these other relationships in this life, that it may give us a better life on this earth, but it's not going to do anything for us in eternity. And so the first step for us is to come to Christ and to develop that relationship with Christ through His saving grace. And then once we have this relationship with Christ, then we begin to grow in this relationship with Christ. It's the most important relationship that we can have, and it's the most important relationship that we can grow in. Now, once we begin growing in our relationship with Christ, what we will find is that then God begins to work in our hearts, and He begins to work in our relationships, and we will begin to grow in our other relationships as well. And while our relationship with Christ is going to certainly impact every single relationship that we have, What Paul does for us in the book of Ephesians is he just gives us a few snapshots of some of these relationships that we do have. And these are relationships that we are to continue to grow in as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. And we're going to see some more of those relationships this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. Now, as you're turning there, I want to give you an overarching truth for us to walk away with today. Here it is. Our earthly relationships are to bring glory and honor to our eternal God. Our earthly relationships are to bring glory and honor to our eternal God. Look, God has created us to have relationships. First and foremost, He's created us to have a relationship with Himself. But then God has also created us to have relationships with others as well. We see this going all the way back to the very beginning when God created Eve, and He said, "It is not good for man to be alone." God has created us for relationships, but because of our own sin and rebellion, what happens is many times these relationships become distorted, and they end up looking nothing like what God intended for them to be. We see this very clearly as well, right after the fall, when Cain kills his brother Abel. The sibling relationship is a gift from God. It is a blessing from God. And yet what we see with Cain is that because of his resentment, because of his jealousy, because of his hatred, he takes this beautiful relationship that God has given and he turns it into a devastating act of violence. And so what happens as these relationships are distorted by our sin and rebellion, what we have are relationships that are not honoring to God. This is why Paul is addressing these relationships here in the book of Ephesians, so that as Christ followers, we can have a good picture of what these relationships are supposed to be, so that our earthly relationships can bring glory and honor to our eternal God. Now, if you remember, the first relationship that we talked about last week was the marriage relationship between a man and a woman, and that marriage relationship has been given to us by God so that we can have a picture, a beautiful picture of Christ's relationship with the church. We're going to look at two more relationships today. So if you So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way, without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with them." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by addressing the big question that many of us might ask as we look at a passage like this. The question is, does God condone slavery? Is God okay with the enslavement of human beings? And the short answer to this question is no, God does not condone slavery. Now, the longer answer is that God does not condone the type of slavery that probably, more than likely, comes to our mind when we hear that word, slavery. Because as Americans living in 2024, many times when we hear that word, slavery, our minds immediately turn to the type of atrocious slavery that we had here in our country. And praise God that that type of slavery was abolished. But Paul was not writing this letter to American Christians in 2024. Now, while the truths of this passage can still be applied to our lives today, it's important for us to understand the context that Paul was writing in. So in biblical times, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there was a type of slavery that's different than the type of slavery that we are familiar with. It was more of a voluntary slavery, like indentured servitude. In fact, that word that we see there that's translated as slave, in some of your translations, you may see that word bond servant. It's a word implying that it's someone is bound in service to someone else, which, by the way, is the same word that's used for Christians here in this passage and in other passages as well, saying that we are to be bond servants, bound in service to Christ. But a bond servant was not necessarily someone that was taken forcefully. They may have been, but it's not necessarily someone who was taken forcefully. Some would volunteer to be bound in service, or they would volunteer to be enslaved to someone else, and they might do this for a couple of reasons. They might enslave themselves to someone else or bind themselves to someone else because they were poorer. And so in order to have someone to take care of them, to put a roof over their head, to put food on their table, they would bind themselves in service. They would enslave themselves to someone else. Others might enslave themselves to someone else or bind themselves in service to someone else because they had a debt that they owed to that person. And this may be a financial debt. It may be another type of debt that they wanted to pay back. And so they would enslave themselves to that individual. A good example of this type of being bound in service to someone can actually be seen in The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. All right, any Lord of the Rings fans out there? All right, just a couple. All right, you can go back and watch that later on today. It's a few hours long, though. All right, but in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, there's a scene where the steward of Gondor discovers that his son has been killed in battle. And so one of the hobbits, right, this is a fictional story, one of the hobbits, he kneels before the steward of Gondor, and he says to the steward of Gondor, he says, "He died protecting my kinsmen and me. I offer you my service in payment of this debt." And so at that moment, this hobbit became bound in service. He became enslaved to the steward of Gondor. And so it's important to remember that not all slavery that we see in Scripture was this horrific type of slavery that more often than not we are familiar with. Now, this is not to say that there was not horrific types of slavery in Scripture. This is not to say that there wasn't that type of slavery that we're familiar with in Scripture. That was there as well, but that type of slavery was not condoned by God. In fact, God very clearly condemns that type of slavery in Scripture. Let me give you a few examples. First, if we just go back and think about the Israelites being enslaved in Egypt, they were taken against their will, bound in service against their will in Egypt as slaves. And so God sends Moses to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh. And what does he say for Moses to say to Pharaoh? "Let my people go. Release them from slavery." And although Pharaoh releases them when he decides to send the armies after them, God then swallows up the armies, drowns the armies in the Red Sea. So that's an example from the Old Testament, but now let me give you an example from the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 11, Paul is listing off lots of sins that are contrary to the gospel. And what we see is slave traders are listed off in the sin. So let's read this. It says, "We know that the law is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinful, for the unholy and irreverent, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, and males who have sex with males, for slave traders, liars, perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound teaching that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God which was entrusted to me." So, in this list of sins that are contrary to the gospel, that God does not condone, but he condemns, he includes slave traders, those who forcibly take people and put them into slavery. And so it's clear that the evil type of slavery, which we are familiar with, God does not condone. He didn't condone it in the Old Testament. He didn't condone it in the New Testament. And God still does not condone it today. But the type of slavery that was voluntary, where people would bind themselves in service voluntarily to pay off a debt or to get a roof put over their head, this was a type of slavery that God did condone. It was okay to do that. And so as we think about this voluntary type of service, this passage about slaves, it really gives us some good truths as we think about the employee-boss relationship. This is a type of relationship that we might find ourselves in. And so as we continue walking through our passage, there are three truths that I want us to walk away with, three callings that we see here as we think about the child-parent relationship and the employee-boss relationship. So let's look at these right now. First, we see a call to obey with steadfastness. We see that word obey in verses 1 and 5. Children, obey your parents. Slaves, obey your human masters. Or we could say, employees, obey your bosses. But we see this call to obey with steadfastness. And this word obey, it bears a weight of responsibility. As Christ followers, we have a responsibility to obey those who have been put over us, to submit to those who are in positions that are over us. Now, again, we have this caveat that we talked about last week, that we are not called to obey instructions that go against God's word, go against God's will, something that we might be asked to do that is sinful. We are not to obey those instructions. But we are to obey those who have been placed over us. So we have this responsibility here. The word obey also implies a hierarchy. In other words, there are the ones that give the commands, and then there are the ones that follow the commands. And God has established a clear order of hierarchy. Parents are not to obey their children. Bosses are not to obey their employees. Employees are to obey their bosses, and children are to obey their parents. And because there is this command, specifically right here, as we think about this command for children to obey their parents, there's an implication that parents are to lead their children. And more specifically, what verse 4 tells parents is that we are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So let me pause right here and say this. Parents, if you are a Christ follower, it is your God-given right and your responsibility to teach your children to know Jesus. It is your God-given right and responsibility to teach your children to know Jesus. I've heard this over the years from parents at times. They say, well, I'm not going to take my children to church. I just want them, when they get old enough, I want them to decide whether or not they're going to follow Jesus or what they're going to believe. And, you know, as I think about this, I realize we don't treat our children's education like this. We don't treat our children's athletics like this. We make sure that our kids go to school so that they can get an education. We make sure if we want our kids to play sports, we put them in sports at a very early age so that they can learn how to play that sport so that as they get older, they can be on the team. And so if we're not going to treat these earthly matters like this, we certainly should not treat these eternal matters like this. Now listen, at the end of the day, your children are going to choose. It is going to be their choice whether or not they follow Jesus. But may it never be true that they choose not to follow Jesus because we have not done our job as parents to train them up to know and to love the Lord. It is your God-given right and responsibility to teach your children to know Jesus. Now, children, as your parents instruct you, as your parents guide you, as your parents tell you what to do at times, it is your responsibility to obey your parents. Why? Because it is right. It is right to honor your father and mother. It is right to honor those who have sacrificed for you, who have worked hard for you, to provide for you, to take care of you. And if you're an adult already, then we still honor our parents. We still honor the ones that took care of us and that trained us and that taught us and that sacrificed for us. We still honor those that are our parents, even as adults. But we aren't simply called to obey our parents because it's right. We're also called to obey our parents and our bosses because we want to point back to the Lord. We want to walk in obedience to the Lord. What does verse 1 say again? It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." What does verse 5 say? Obey your human masters as you would Christ. Remember, this goes back to Ephesians 5:21, which I said laid the groundwork for last week's message and for this week's message. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting one to another in the fear of Christ. In other words, we desire to submit, we desire to walk in obedience in these relationships, whether it's that parent-child relationship or boss-employee relationship, we desire to walk in obedience because we want to please the Lord. And it pleases the Lord when we obey the ones that He has placed over us. So we see a call to obey with steadfastness. Second, we see a call to serve with sincerity. And we see that word sincerity in verse 5 saying that you are to serve in the sincerity of your heart. Why? Because what's in our hearts will ultimately impact what we're doing. It's ultimately going to be seen in our actions. A couple of images come to mind. If you have a child that is obeying you, they're doing everything that you've asked them to do, but maybe as they're doing it, they're stomping their feet down the hallway and they're slamming the doors. They're doing what you've asked them to do, but there's not that sincerity of heart. And so while they are being obedient, their heart's attitude, it spoils their obedience. Another example comes to mind. Maybe you can relate to this. If you've ever gone to a restaurant and you've had bad customer service. Now, maybe the job ultimately got done, but the bad customer service ultimately spoiled the experience for you. Now, interestingly, there's a restaurant chain that began in Dallas in 1985, and now there's just a few locations across the country. But the purpose of this restaurant is to provide bad customer service. And so it's somewhat of a novelty restaurant where people go and they pay for bad customer service. And so the employees are trained to be obnoxious and rude to the customers. So as we look at our passage, we're reminded that as believers, God is training us not to be obnoxious, not to be rude. God is training us to be sincere in our service. Why? Because we represent someone higher than ourselves. I've shared this before, but when I was growing up, every day before I would leave for school, my grandma would say to me, "Remember who you are and act accordingly." Now, she wasn't just saying, "Remember that you're Kevin," or "Remember that you're a Skinner and act accordingly." That was part of it. But most importantly, she was telling me, "Remember that you are a Christ follower. And so when you go to school today, whatever you say, whatever you do, may it be reflective of the God you serve. Remember who you are and act accordingly." And so, believer, I would say those words to you today. Remember who you are and act accordingly. Whether you are a child obeying your parents, whether you are an employee obeying your boss, remember who you are and act accordingly. May you serve with a sincerity in your heart so you can point others back to the one that you say is your Lord. So we see a call to obey with steadfastness and a call to serve with sincerity. Finally, this morning, we see a call to lead with sensitivity. Verse 4 says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children." And verse 9 says, "And masters, treat your slaves the same way without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." So we see a call to lead with sensitivity. And so now the focus has moved from these positions of obedience, these positions of service, to now we're looking at the position of those who are in authority, whether you're a parent or whether you're a boss. And so I would encourage you to hear these words today from God's Word. We are to lead with sensitivity. Now, leading with sensitivity does not mean that we are not leading with the power or leading with the authority that we have been given, but I would say that leading with sensitivity means harnessing our power for good, not wielding it for harm. Harnessing our power for good, not wielding it for harm. I mentioned this last week, but the Greek word that's translated here as in this passage in Ephesians 5:21 and following, the word that's translated here as submit or submitting is a Greek word that was actually used as a military term. And it was used to describe the order that God had created things. But although this is a military term, I want you to understand it does not imply that we are to be militant in our leadership. Parents are not to be militant with their children. Bosses are not to be militant with their employees. Rather, ultimately, we are to use our power and we're to use our authority to point our children and to point our employees or those who are under us back to the Lord. Just as God desires for Christ to be seen in the obedience of our children or in the obedience of our employees, God also desires for Christ to be seen in our leadership as bosses or as parents. And so if Christ is going to be seen in our leadership, then we need to look to Christ for our example of leadership. And Christ is our best example of leadership because Christ led with humility. Christ led with a servant's heart, coming into this world, taking on the form as a servant, emptying himself, being willing to go to the cross for your sins and for mine so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be saved. Christ is our example of leading with sensitivity. And so once again, as we look at the book of Ephesians here, we have these snapshots of these relationships. The parent-child relationship, the marriage relationship, the employee-boss relationship. And so whether we're talking about our marriages, whether we're talking about our families, whether we're talking about our workplace, our earthly relationships are to bring glory and honor to our eternal God. And I believe that they will bring glory and honor to our God as we continue to look to God's Word and as we continue to apply God's Word to our lives, because that is what is necessary if we are going to continue to grow in every way. Now, maybe you're here and you would say that you have not been growing in every way. Or maybe you aren't growing in a relationship with Christ because you've never given your life to Christ. If that's true, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond today. Maybe you're here and you would say, you have never given your life to Christ. You've never trusted in Him as your Lord. But today you're ready to take that step. Before you work on any other relationship in your life, you're ready to begin the most important relationship of your life, to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you this morning. Today, you can know Jesus as your Lord. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism, just like we watched the Hartle family on video earlier. You've never taken that step yourself, but today you're ready to make that commitment. Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe it's something that God calls every single born-again believer to do. And so if we're going to submit to Jesus as our Lord, then part of that means walking in obedience to what He's called us to do. And so if you'd like to make that commitment for baptism this morning, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to come alongside this church body and to be on mission with this church body to serve the Lord right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.